some of you that are my age and older, remember, do you remember those 3D things, those posters we used to see on the walls of stuff? Like, there were these jumbled bunch of images, and you were supposed to be able to sit there and stare at it for a while. And so it would pop out. You remember those? It would pop out. Do y'all remember those things? Okay. First off, they're lies. There's nothing there. Because I have stared at those things forever, and I don't see anything. There's nothing there. And my home church at one point became fascinated with these things. And there must have been 50 of them just all around our church. And so I would go up to them, and I'd sit there, I'd just stare. I'd smack myself. I'd blink. I'd squint. I'd do everything I could do. And I never saw a blasted thing. I fully believe there's nothing there. And those of you that say you've seen something, you're lying. Because there's nothing there. Because I tried forever to see that, to see whatever it was that was there. There wasn't anything there. But people that see them say it just jumps out to you. And something there speaks to you. And it just you get it. It just kind of hits it. And you might see a different thing than somebody else might see. It always kind of varies based off what you're looking for, is what I've been told. That's Christmas. Christmas, what Christmas is for me may be very different. And not maybe, it is going to be very different from what you've experienced and what it's meant to you. What gives you joy in Christmas is going to be very different than from what gives me joy in Christmas. My Christmas experiences are going to be very different from your Christmas experiences. I remember as a child growing up in the big urban setting of Bogachetta, Mississippi. On Thanksgiving Day, after we ate too much food, we would go out in the pasture across from my mama's house, and we would chop down a Christmas tree with a hatchet and bring it home. Yeah, I'm old school, baby. I grew up on a dirt road. That's how I roll. But that's what we would. I remember that every year as a child, we would go chop down a Christmas tree and bring it home and decorate it that day. And that, for me as a child, was one of my favorite memories of Christmas. Was doing that with my mom and dad. We all have these different memories. These different things that Christmas means to us. And so I am not so arrogant as to say to you that Christmas means this. Because it means to you what you've experienced and what it is for you in your life. That's why I like the season of Advent that we're in right now. Because we're talking about the different things Christmas means. Hope. Peace. Love. Christmas is not just one of these things. Christmas is all of these things. Christmas is a season of hope. Whereas our song during the offertory said, tonight is the night the world begins again. That on Christmas, the very God who breathed life into Adam and Eve, the very God that saw Adam and Eve fall into sin, the very God that created everything, began the process of recreation. That after we had gone and made everything messy, after we, in our sin, had fallen and just broke everything, because that's what we do. After we had done all this, our God said, yeah, I know you messed up. But tonight's the night the world begins again. And I give you this child to begin again. We serve a God that no matter where you are in your walk with him, no matter where you are with your walk with other people, no matter where your family is right now, no matter where your life is right now, we serve a God that says, right now, it all begins again. Boy, there ain't much in life better than a reset button, is there? Today's the day the world begins again. So yes, there's hope. And there's peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Don't ever think your life must be conflict-free for there to be peace. Because if that's what you're longing for, you'll never find peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is this, that even in the storm, we are held safe in the arms of God. Peace says, even if the doctor's prognosis comes back different than you wanted, you're held in the arms of God. Peace says that even if your family's falling apart, even if you don't know where you're going to find the money to buy presents for the kids, even if you don't know what your job security is for the next 2 years, peace says you're held in the arms of God no matter what. Christmas means peace. It is hope, and it is peace. But for me, if Christmas to me means me and my mom and daddy going across the road and chopping down a Christmas tree, Christmas to me does mean something specific. And I'd like to read to you this morning out of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 1, verses 18 and following, about what Christmas means to me. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. He did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break off the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And you will have a son. You name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." All this occurred to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until the son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. Bible characters weren't always Bible characters, y'all. We read the stories of Scripture and we think, well, gosh, yeah, of course Joseph did that. Because that's what the Bible said he did. So, of course, that's what happened and that's what the way it goes. Bible characters weren't always Bible characters. In Joseph's day, Joseph had the ability to have had Mary stoned to death. That was within his power. In that day, being engaged wasn't like today's world, where, you know, you can end the engagement very quickly. In Joseph's day, in Jesus' day, an engagement basically was marriage. I mean, it was everything but you were basically married. So Joseph could have legally, it was fully within his rights, could have legally had Mary stoned to death because she was pregnant. And he was not the child. He was not the father, rather. He could have legally had her stoned to death. So Scripture says Joseph was a good man. He was a good man. And so to not disgrace her, he was going to quietly end the engagement. Because he was a good man. And he didn't want her to have the public shame that was going to happen with this, or the humiliation of the potential pain of, you know, being stoned to death. I'm assuming that would hurt pretty badly. Just an assumption. I don't know. But I'm assuming that would hurt. Joseph, being a good man, didn't do that. And the Lord came to him in a dream and said, No. This is part of my plan. And I know it wasn't the plan you would have picked. It was not the path you would have chosen. It was not the way you had planned your life out. But it is the way of life. I don't know where you are in your walk with God right now. I'm guessing, I'm just a guess here, most of us in this room, our life has not played out like we thought it would play out when we were children. Life takes odd turns. And we wind up in places that we couldn't have planned to have wound up. But God has us where we need to be. It's by no accident you are where you are now. It's by no accident you're in this place where you are right now. One of my favorite quotes was by Pope John Paul II, where he said, "We have no reason to fear the future. It is not by accident you are here right now. You are not here by accident. There aren't any accidents with God." God says to Joseph, I know this doesn't look good, and I know this is going to be hard, but she is carrying my son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. So he did it. He did it. Now Mary, the Lord came to her and said, Mary, blessed are you among women, for you shall bear a son. And she said to him, Lord, how can this be, Lord? The Lord explained it. And Mary, as all of a child probably of 13 to 14 years old, said to the Lord, when the Lord said she would be with child, Mary said to God, let it be unto me according to thy word. Mary accepted this challenge and gift from God, which was not the way she thought her life would play out, y'all. I can't say it enough. Just because you're not where you thought you'd be doesn't mean you're not where God wants you to be. Let me say that again. Just because you're not where you thought you'd be does not mean you're not where God needs you to be. There are no accidents with God. So Mary said to God, let it be unto me according to thy word. So she had a son named Jesus. Why? Why did she choose to accept this incredible gift and trial? Why did Joseph choose to accept Mary as his wife even when he legally had an out? Why? Love. Joseph loved Mary. And in spite of the challenges, he loved her. I wish I could say love wasn't painful. You know, in fact, the easiest way to keep your heart from getting broken? Don't fall in love. The easiest way to stay safe in life is to not risk your heart. But if you live in a world where you harden your heart to love, you will live a miserable life. Will it be a safe life? Yeah, maybe safe. But we're not meant to be safe. We're meant to be alive. Because guess what wasn't safe, y'all? Sending your son to Bethlehem to be born in a manger. That's not safe. But that's what God did. Mary accepted God's gift and challenge to her because she loved God. Joseph took Mary as his wife because he loved her. Love was the motivating factor of this entire situation. And love is what came down at Christmas time. Because of love, Jesus Christ was born. Because of love, Jesus Christ was given to us. Because of love, we have the ability to be transformed by an awesome God. A God that loves you more than you will ever know. We've talked in Advent about all things new. A new hope we can have in spite of life. A new peace we can have in spite of the trials and the struggles of life. Today, y'all, we have a new purpose. When you're drug out to the mall this week, do me a favor and people watch. See how many faces you see in the mall that look happy. See how many faces you see in the lines that look happy. And maybe even take a mirror up to your own face at that point. See if you look happy. Y'all, there are folks out there that are dying to be loved. There are folks every day of your life that are dying to simply know they are worth something to God. They have been beaten up and they have been beaten down. They have been tossed aside. They have been cast away. They have been judged. They have been rejected. They have been kicked. And they are longing, desperately longing to know that they have a worth and that they are loved. If we can take our eyes off of the business of the season, we will see the hurt around us. In fact, we may not even have to look too far. We may be able to look within ourselves. We have a new purpose. Because see, what God did was this. God sent His Son. God gave His Son. God did not make the people come to Him. God went to them. God gave, God gave, God loved, God sent, God reached out. God reached out to a dying, a hurting, a miserable, a sad world and said, here is my greatest gift to you of all. It is my love. I know it looks like I'm offering my iPad, but I'm really not. This is metaphorical. You can't have my iPad. God reached out and said, you are mine. You know what God sends the church to do now? What God sends us as Christians to do now is to do the same. If we only stay internal with our love, we miss the point. If we only love ourselves, we miss the point. If we only love our families, we miss the point. We are called to go and to send and to save and to reach out and to care and to embrace, because there are people out there, y'all, that are desperate to be loved. There are people out there that are desperate to know there's a God that loves them. There are people out there to know that they are more than their mistakes. How many people do we meet each day that are defined by their failures? That are defined where they have fallen? That are defined where they have made a mistake and made a fool of themselves? How many people do we encounter every day that just need to be loved? That is what we're here for. That is our new purpose. But here's the thing. Before we can go out and be like God and live with this new purpose and love a hurting world, we must first know one thing. That we are loved. You are more than your job. You are more than whatever's in your bank account. You are more than the car you drive. You are more than the clothes on your back. You are more than your title. You are more than your house. You're a child of God. You're not defined by your possessions. You are not defined by your failures. Let me say that again so you can actually hear me. You are not defined by your failures. You are not a mistake. You are not a mess up. You are not a failure. I don't care who has taught you that. I don't care where you've been told it. I don't care how much you've internalized it. You are a child of God. That God loved so much, he gave his only son for you. Before we can do anything this Christmas, before we can take our new purpose out there, before we can take our love to others, we must first know this, that we are loved. You are loved more now than you can even imagine. God's love for you now is greater than anything your heart can even know. I don't care what the past, it doesn't matter what the past has held. It doesn't matter what struggles you face. It doesn't matter what failures you've had happen. It doesn't matter to God, because you are loved so much, he gave his own son for you to show you love. Tonight's the night the world begins again. Today is the day it starts over. Whatever you've held on to, whatever you've got in your backpack, whatever it is that weighs you down, whatever that voice that whispers to you at night saying, oh, you can't be loved, you've done this. You know what you answer back to that voice? You say, I am loved because God gave his son for me. You are loved no matter what. That is Christmas to me. You are loved. Before we can do anything this Christmas, we must first know that. Nothing else matters. You are loved. Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that? We went to see the new Narnia movie last night. I don't know if you know this or not, but I like C.S. Lewis. Brian, do you know that I like C.S. Lewis, Brian? Were you aware of that fact? Once or twice? Okay. There's a great scene in there where they're sent out on this mission, and they're to defeat the darkness. And the man says this: to defeat the darkness out there, you must defeat the darkness inside yourself. To defeat the darkness out there, you must defeat the darkness inside yourself. Before you can tell a world that they are loved, before you can defeat the power of hate in the world, before you can tell them out there they are loved, you must first know in here that you are loved. You are loved today. I don't care if you know it. What I care about is, do you believe it? I don't want you to know that up here. I want you to know that right here. Today, you are loved. That's Christmas. That's what it's about. You are loved. Let us pray.